Well, good evening, Logos Church family, and those joining us tonight on Facebook and on YouTube. We welcome you to a brand new series on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed, knowing Him, recognizing Him, being led by Him. And tonight we're going to see how the invisible makes Himself visible. We're going to look at a symbol called the wind, and we're going to see how the Holy Spirit of God comes to invade us and make Himself known to us through the wind of God. Let's just pause and pray if we could. Father God, we just thank You for tonight. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here. I thank You for those that have tuned in to watch. I pray right now, Lord God, that You would open the eyes of our understanding, open our ears that we may hear Your truth and embed it within our hearts, O God. And may we see this Holy Spirit that is part of the Trinity in the real form, O God, that You have called us to see Him in. In Your mighty name we pray. Amen. And so we have received the Word of God. We have it most likely on your coffee table. You could have it on your desk, your nightstand, in your bedroom. And when you see the Word of God, you've always known it to be the Word of God. And how could we have a Bible with us, and how could we own it without a Holy Spirit being spoken of? And so we are introduced to the Holy Spirit by knowing this, that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that is how we will open up our text. We see that the Holy Spirit is one that is not quickly pointed to. We see God the Father, we see God the Son, but we don't see God the Holy Spirit as clearly as we see God and as we see His Son. Jesus. Instead, what we learn about the Holy Spirit is that He will point us to the Father. We read that in John 16, verse 13. It says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." So what have we learned right here about the Holy Spirit? He speaks not of His own. He speaks whatever God the Father tells Him to say. So right there, we know that there is a pointing to God. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to draw attention to Himself. He doesn't come to say, "Look at me, notice me." But instead, He works in synchronization with God. He is in the background, pointing us always to notice God, pointing us to Jesus, who points to His Father. The Holy Spirit, according to this verse, speaks not about Himself, but He comes to bring glory to His Father, glory to Jesus, so we can see Jesus more, so that we can understand Jesus more, so that we can respond to Him in obedience, and we can commit our lives to Him in a devotion. This is the Holy Spirit's role. If we are not in tune as we are reading the Word of God, we could miss out on how the demonstration of the Holy Spirit is revealed to us. We could miss out, while we're reading the Scriptures, exactly when the Holy Spirit is on the scene and what He is saying and what He is doing. And so we must be tuned in. We must be in tune with what God is wanting to say to us. The Holy Spirit throughout the Scriptures was shown to us through signs, through wonders, through symbols, some of these symbols being fire, some of these symbols being oil. And tonight we're going to look most specifically, as I mentioned, at wind. These are the way that the Holy Spirit came to demonstrate Himself to us. But again, we have to be in tune with the Spirit of God to see what is happening in the passage, to understand that the Holy Spirit is working to point us to the Father. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus was confused by this. "How can I be born again? Do I enter my mother's womb a second time?" And Jesus says, "No, you are born again by the Spirit. It is by the Spirit that we see newness of life. The Spirit comes in a gentleness. The Spirit comes in a breeze. What happened in Acts 2, verse 2? We see that suddenly there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Suddenly there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It wasn't the wind that blew in. Some people put their focus on the wind, but it was the sound of a mighty rushing wind that the Holy Spirit chose to demonstrate that he was appearing on the scene. The Holy Spirit is God's sovereign dynamic in a sense that God's saying, I am here, I am in this place, and my Spirit is demonstrating me. And so the Holy Spirit had to come in that sound of a wind so that the people that were gathered that night, the 120 that were gathered in the room that day, that their attention would be called to God. This must be the promise that Jesus spoke about. On Jesus' baptism, we saw another demonstration of the symbol of the Holy Spirit. When the Father revealed himself after Jesus was in the waters and John brought him up in the river of Jordan, the Holy Spirit came down in a form of a dove and rested. And what did it say? That this is my Son. So there is another symbol. We see the wind, we see the dove. God desires that we would seek him, because he wants to reveal to us this mysterious Holy Spirit. God doesn't desire that we just would read his word and not allow it to penetrate us. He desires that we would read his word and allow it to soak itself into us, that it would transform us, that it would make us new. And it is a work of the Holy Spirit within us that gives us that new birth. As Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, you're not going to be the former Nicodemus. You're not going to be the old man, but you are going to be that new transformed man, newly born within by the Spirit of God. And so God desires that we would seek after him, and that in seeking him, we would come to that place of an understanding and knowing who he is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this wonderful Holy Spirit and understanding who he is. God said to Moses in Psalm 103, verse 7, it says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. Moses was in such a close communion with God, such a close fellowship with God. He knew of God's thoughts. He knew of God's ways. But the people of Israel had to see God in the demonstration of acts and wonders. But Moses knew of God. He knew who God was. In Exodus 33, verse 13, it says, now if indeed I have found favor in your sight, please let me know your ways that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Remember that this nation is your people. Moses desired to know God. Do you tonight desire to know God in that very true, in that very intimate way? That whether it is God the Son or God the Holy Spirit demonstrating themselves in your life, that you could recognize the presence of God when it shows up. Moses had that kind of relationship with God. When you purpose within yourself to know the ways of God, then you will come to know his acts. And you will see how his Holy Spirit moves in a mighty and a powerful way. Have you ever been in a stale environment? Have you ever been to a service where it just seems like nothing is happening? Have you ever been to a place where everybody is going through the rituals of what Christianity seems to be, but they're not seeking God in that very intimate way? Oh, they're singing songs and they're saying back to the leader what he has instructed them, say with me, and yet there is a plain atmosphere. There is a dead atmosphere. But have you been in an atmosphere where you can't explain it, but you feel the tangible presence of God? You feel feel almost the electricity of God within the room. Upon entering into the room, even before the first song is sung, you feel that dynamic difference. That is when you walk in close communion with God. That is when you walk in close relationship with God, that you are able to see His presence. You are able to feel His presence. You are able to understand it. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 29, 12 to 14. He says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." The Lord wants us to seek after Him. He doesn't want us just to receive His word, but He wants us to go wholeheartedly after Him, seeking for more and more of the visitation of His presence in our lives. What is the common denominator of these two verses? We see that Moses was seeking after God. He wanted to know God's ways. And we see that in Jeremiah, God says, if you call upon me, if you seek after me, then I will be found by you. God desires that we seek Him, because when we seek after Him, our character becomes molded. We become shaped by Him. We become more like Him. And the Holy Spirit has His way within our life. And the old man dies, and the new man is raised up in Christ. What did Isaiah 50 verse 7 said? I will make my face like flint. I have set my face like flint before you. Isaiah was demonstrating to us it was a purposeful. Flint is a very strong metal. It can't be deviated. It can't be bended. So he wasn't going to be distracted by the things that were going around him, but he would set his face like flint before the Lord. He was going to seek after Him. He was going to go hard after Him. It's in the seeking of God that we finally come to know who He is and His Holy Spirit. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 45, 15. "Truly, O God of Israel, our Savior, your works are mysterious ways." That's the New Living Translation. In the ESV, it says this: "Truly, you are a God who hides Himself, O God of Israel, the Savior." Did you ever play hide and seek with a child and you hid yourself and the child came looking for you? And after a while, the child was not finding you and you made a little bit of a rustling. You made a little bit of a noise so that the child would find you, that they would be drawn to you by the noise. God desires that we would seek after Him. He hides Himself in the sense not to hide Himself so that we would not know Him, but so that we can seek more after Him and come to know Him in the personal way. Psalm 25, verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." ESV says it this way: "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant." The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He makes known His covenant. A covenant is a solid binding agreement. When God makes a promise to us, it is from a solid binding agreement. And He desires to have relationship and fellowship with us. So you see, there's a side of God that wants you to seek after Him. He may present Himself in a mysterious way, like the Holy Spirit. He seems mysterious. He seems invisible. But God allows that so that we could seek hard after Him, so that in the invisible, we would see the visible God. So the Son points us. The Holy Spirit points us to the Son, and the Son points us to His Father. John 14 verses 9 to 11 says this: "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. If you can't believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, at least believe by the works that you see me doing. At least believe by the demonstration of His Spirit within me. That Spirit being the form of a dove that came upon Him when He was baptized. 2 Timothy, as we mentioned earlier when we opened tonight, 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. What is all Scripture? It is God-breathed. We have to understand that God-breathed in the Greek is the pneuma of God. In the Old Testament, it's called the Ruach of God. Where else do we see the Ruach of God? We see the Ruach of God in Genesis 2 verse 7 when God took the earth of the ground and He formed man. And what did He do with man? He breathed into man. He breathed the Ruach of God, the breath of life. We can look at the Scriptures and we can see in the New Testament the pneuma of God, in the Old Testament the Ruach of God. And so we're going to see it, break it down this way. Sometimes we have a specific mention of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have a subtle mention of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. Sometimes we have a symbolic mention. What is a specific mention of the Holy Spirit? In Acts 1 and 8, what did He say to His disciples? But you will receive power when what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is a specific revelation of the Holy Spirit. It is specifically said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not all Scripture is clear in that form. Another example is Genesis 1 verse 2, when the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. You see, the Holy Spirit didn't just come in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit didn't just come in specific points and times in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit was there at the foundations of the earth, and He was hovering over the void and the darkness and the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. So we see here another specific revelation. Another one is a subtle mention. Sometimes the Scripture is alluding to the Holy Spirit, but we need other Scripture to back it up to allow us to see, hey, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 6 verse 9, we have an example of this. It says this, and He said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Is it clear to us here that the Holy Spirit is being referred to? No, not at all. In order to understand that this scripture verse is talking about the Holy Spirit, we would have to fast forward in time to Acts 28 when Paul was speaking, and he said in verses 25 to 27, he says, and disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet. Did you catch that? The Holy Spirit was right. Did we know in Isaiah 6 verse 9 that was the Holy Spirit speaking? No. But here Paul reveals it to us. Acts 28, 25 to 27. Go to this people, verse 26, and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but not perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, I would heal them. What is blocking you from seeing God? What is blocking you from seeing the demonstration of His power in your life? Have you become so distracted by the problems in your life that you can't see the very day that this morning you woke up, and the very reason why you woke up is because the breath of God is giving you life? Are you more concentrating on the circumstances that are going on around you rather than giving praise to God, that Holy Spirit who has come and breathed life in us? Without reading this portion in Acts 28, we would not understand that it's the Holy Spirit that Isaiah was talking about. Sometimes we have to dig a little deeper in God's word to understand what is happening in the text. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to symbolically, as we already spoke about in Jesus' baptism. Let's look at Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him, and lo, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There is a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming and filling Jesus. What was that symbol? That symbol was the form of a dove. Was the Holy Spirit a dove? No, it was the form of a dove. So we see how the Holy Spirit came on Jesus. But not to confuse yourself, don't get caught up in believing, oh, every time you see a dove, oh, there's the Holy Spirit. No, this was a demonstration so that the Holy Spirit can reveal himself to us symbolically, so that we can understand, the Holy Spirit is in this picture. You see, we see Jesus being baptized. We see him coming out of the waters. We hear God speaking, but where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit demonstrated himself symbolically in the form of a dove. So again, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. All that breathing, that pneuma, that ruach, that is the Holy Spirit's demonstration. When you get the word of God and you open it, it has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. It has been breathed out by the Holy Spirit. And so that you know that these words that are written are true, and everything will point you to the Son, and the Son will point you to the Father. The Trinity works together. It's not one out glorifying the other, but it is working in tandem. The ruach can mean the spirit, the wind, the breath. In Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, it said this, "Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days now." Jesus is instructing his disciples to stay there. He's instructing his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what? The promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, how could they know what this Holy Spirit would look like? They didn't. Imagine if you were there in that moment in time. Well, Jesus, we saw how you healed people. Jesus, we saw how you demonstrated your power over the demons and the principalities when you would set people free. Jesus, we saw your many signs and miracles, but how will we see this Holy Spirit? Obviously, he's going to come in such a demonstration. What could this Holy Spirit look like? What will he do? What will he say to us? What miracles will he perform? In their excitement and in their anticipation for now, this next phase that Jesus is calling them to wait upon. Wait, tarry, stay in Jerusalem, don't leave. I'm sending the promise of the Holy Spirit. They went and they stayed and they tarried. waiting, what could this Holy Spirit look like? Have you ever gone to church anticipating to meet with God? Have you ever gone into your quiet place with God during the day and you open up the Word of God and you're just waiting for that Rhema word to come, that Ruach word, that God breathed word for you in that moment? Have you ever been in that place where you were just waiting on God to give you breath and life, to give you a newness? This is what we could see, or what we could imagine the disciples to be feeling. Wow, Jesus is going now to the Father, but he's sending someone. He's sending the Holy Spirit. He must be great. What will he look like? What will he do? How will he demonstrate himself to us? Well, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4 says it like this. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. How did the Holy Spirit come? Did he come in the room and say, "Hey folks, it's me. I'm the promised one that Jesus said was coming"? No. Did a wind come in the room and blow them all to be disheveled? No. There was a sound like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Have you ever heard that sound in a storm? Have you ever heard what it sounds like to hear the wind outside blowing and to look out your window and see the cedars bending? We're gonna look at a video like that. If the men in the live stream room would put the video up, we're just gonna see 30 seconds of what a wind would look like. So we see here a demonstration when the wind shows up. How do we know the wind is happening in this video? We know the wind is happening because we see the trees bending. We know the wind is in this video. Why? Because we hear the sound of a wind. And so the Holy Spirit is that demonstration. Thank you. We'll stop the video right there. The Holy Spirit is that demonstration. How did he show up in the room that night or that day? He demonstrated by the sound of a mighty rushing wind. He demonstrated, he announced his coming by the sound of a wind. I know that a storm is coming when I hear the wind blowing, when I look outside my window and I see the trees bowing, when I see the torrents of the rain coming or the snow hurling. What does John chapter 3 verse 8 say? It says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit of God." You see, we don't see how the wind appears. We don't see what direction it comes from, but we hear its sound. It blows wherever it wishes. So we have a tie here of the wind and the Spirit. This time we're giving a glimpse into the very unpredictable nature of the Holy Spirit. You see, they didn't know what to expect that day. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit would look like. They couldn't predict it. All they knew is what they saw in Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit came, he came in an unpredictable way. Perhaps they surmised in themselves that the Holy Spirit would walk in the room just as Jesus had. The Holy Spirit sometimes would do things in a way that we least expect it. He will do things in God's timing. Sometimes we're seeking God and we're praying, oh God, would you? Would you turn the course of events? Oh God, would you give me favor? Oh God, would you heal? And we don't see what God is doing because we don't recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing behind the scenes. But suddenly, like we saw in Acts 2, suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Suddenly tonight, the Holy Spirit can show up in your office, in your room. Suddenly, right now, the Holy Spirit could show up and reveal himself to you in a way as only he can. And his timing is perfect. He is not held back by man. His timing is perfect. He comes. As we have read in John chapter 3, it blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from. And so we see this idea of the breath of God, breathing, blowing, the wind of God. Job 33:4 says, "For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Job recognized it was God who breathed into him. It was God who was sustaining him. It was God who gives him life. As I said earlier, do you recognize each day when you wake up that it is God that has allowed you to see that new day? That you didn't die in your sleep? That sickness didn't come upon you in your sleep? But God breathed in you life. And you are alive. What did God say in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9? Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9, in the very, very popular chapter of the Valley of the Dry Bones. And he said, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. What was happening in this passage? The Spirit of God brought Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones, and those bones were scattered about. And he said to him, son of man, what do you see? What can these bones live? And I answered, oh God, only you know. I'm sorry, but if you asked me, can bones live? No, bones cannot live without life. Bones cannot live without a breath of life. And so what did the Spirit of God say to him? Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the four winds. O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Is there an area in your life that has just become dead? Is there an area of your life that God needs to breathe by the power of the Holy Spirit into that area? Has this pandemic brought you to a place of apathy in your relationship with God? Once upon a time, you would look forward to going to church. You would look forward to worshiping him. And now, because you're not able, some people are in regions, I realize, that they're able to meet in their church services. But some of those of you that are watching tonight are not able to meet in your church services. And so you've become apathetic. You've not nurtured that cultivating of calling on God and worshiping him and singing out to him in your home, and you've become dead per se. You don't pray as you used to do. You don't seek him as you used to. You don't read his word as you used to. What did Ezekiel say? So I prophesy as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. You see, when the Spirit of God breathes into you, you become quickened, you become renewed, you become alive again. Everything that was in you that was dead becomes renewed by His Spirit. Life becomes bubbling up within you. And God fills you with that pneuma, that ruach of God. We also saw this in 1 Kings 19:11, because the wind, we don't want to make it all about the symbol. We see the wind prophesied to the four winds. We see the demonstration of this vast army, bones rattling and coming together. We see the demonstration of breath being breathed into them and the Ruach of God causing them to come back to life. But we don't want to make it only about the sound of the wind. We don't want to make it only about seeking after the symbols. Oh, every time you see the wind or feel the wind, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for blowing on me. We want to be careful of loose associations. In 1 Kings 19:11, it says this: "Go out, Elijah, and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. Now watch this. But the Lord was not in the wind. Though the Lord demonstrated what the wind could do, that demonstration of the wind was not the Holy Spirit in that time, in that passage, like it was in Ezekiel 37, where it caused bones to come together. In this passage, God was speaking to Elijah, and he was saying, I'm not in the wind. So we don't want to isolate every symbol. We don't want to make everything loosely associated. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. We want to recognize when it is the Holy Spirit. We want to be in tune with God to know this is the breath of God breathing new life into me. But we don't want to make things that are not a working of His Holy Spirit as though they are. Some people go seeking only after the goosebumps of God. They go from church to church for that tickly feel-good feeling rather than being fixed, growing in the foundations of God's Word, getting to know God, getting to know His Son, allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to them who God is, who is His Son. This is why when the Holy Spirit was being imparted, Jesus said He breathed in John 20, verse 22. It says that Jesus breathed on them. And what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon us suddenly. I want you to think about that for the times that when you are in that low place, for the times that you are in a valley where it seems as though everything around you is just dead. You're not getting ahead. You're not seeing the work of God in your life. You're not seeing the blessings of God, and everything seems to be dead. But there will come that time when the suddenly of God will show up and He will breathe on you His breath. Impossible situations will become possible. Moments that we felt where we had no one there to comfort us, all of a sudden we will sense and feel the Holy Spirit come and comfort us. We will have a demonstration of His presence in that room, in that place. One time at the altar, I was praying, and not in this church, in another church, and I was just seeking God, and I just felt particularly all alone in that moment, just all alone, and I was just crying out to God, God, would You just come? I feel alone. I feel like no one is there. I feel like everything is vacant. And all of a sudden, a dear sister came, and she began to pray beside me. And as she prayed beside me, she prayed in her natural language at that time, which was Spanish. And she just began to seek the Lord and sing over me in Spanish. And it was as though the Lord gave me understanding to know what she was saying. And there in that moment, while I was feeling alone, while I was feeling isolated, while I was feeling as though no one was around, God brought somebody. And what did He do? He had allowed the Holy Spirit through that woman to sing over me, "You are loved. You see, I am here. I am present. She had no knowledge of this. She had no knowledge of what I had been praying. But as she just came and she sang over me in Spanish, and she sang over me in her spirit language, the Spirit of God began to move and breathe into me that feeling that only the Comforter could bring, that only the Holy Spirit could bring. Suddenly He will show up. Suddenly He will reveal His mysterious ways to us. Suddenly He will come, just as He came in that room. Suddenly, some of you are waiting and have been waiting on God for something, and suddenly He is going to come. It will be when you least expect it, but He will come. You will have a suddenly in your life. Job said this in 40 verse 6. The Lord answered Job from the whirlwind and said, "Dress for action like a man." There's another demonstration of the wind where God did speak to Job. He did demonstrate Himself to Job, where the Holy Spirit did show up in the whirlwind. Stand up and dress yourself for action. Stand up in the whirlwind of the life that you are in now. In all that you're going through, it seems like everything is pressure around you. In all of the dizziness of life, in all that is causing you to be disheveled, stand up and God will come in that whirlwind. God will point out, this is the demonstration of my Holy Spirit. Dress for action. Why? Because we put on the full armor of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit in this passage demonstrated Himself in the whirlwind. But to Elijah, it wasn't in the wind. It's necessary to note that every mention of the wind is not necessarily the Holy Spirit. But there are mentions of the wind when it is the demonstration of the Holy Spirit making the invisible visible. We can't see when He shows up, but we could see what takes place when His presence is there. So we surrender to the wind of the Holy Spirit. We surrender to Him to blow into our life and through us. And once that wind begins to stir up within our lives, we become transformed. We become renewed, like we saw in the Valley of Dry Bones. They stood as a vast army. When the wind of God comes and breathes upon you, every dead area will come alive again. We see these demonstrations. He is suddenly moving. He shows us the mysterious nature of His Holy Spirit in Acts 1 and 8. They didn't know what He would look like, but they waited. We show His refreshing nature. We see His mysterious nature in Acts 1, 4 and 5. They didn't know what they were expecting, but in Acts 1 and 8, we see His refreshing nature. Why? Because He was going to come and He was going to fill them with power. This power would allow them the grace to evangelize. This power would allow them the grace to go out and do great exploits for God. We also see that it is a life-giving nature. So the Holy Spirit shows up suddenly. The Holy Spirit refreshes. The Holy Spirit gives life. And this is demonstrated to us tonight through the wind of God. The wind symbolizes that Holy Spirit. What needs to be quickened in you tonight? What have you allowed to come in the way? We're going to unpack this powerful Holy Spirit in the next several weeks. We're going to see all that He has demonstrated Himself to be. We will see what it looks like when we are filled with that Holy Spirit, when we wait upon Him. We will see what it looks like when the fire of God comes, when the oil of God comes. We're going to unpack this marvelous Holy Spirit. But something needs to be established tonight. Tonight within your heart, you have to allow the wind of God to come and blow away all of the chaff. You have to allow the wind of God to come and breathe on you new life in order to receive all that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us in the next coming weeks. We need to clean out the debris. What has caused you not to see God in your life? moving and working. There's a song out there called Clear the Stage. Everything that I've put in my life before God, anything that I give more attention to, that's an idol. We need to clear the stage of our hearts tonight. We need to clear the stage of those things that are we are pursuing more than we are pursuing God. We need to clear the stage of our mind when we've allowed ourselves to become too consumed with our thoughts. We need to clear the stage of our hearts when we are carrying bitterness, when we are carrying frustrations, when we don't think God is moving when He should be moving. We need to clear the stage of anything that is preventing us from seeing God for who He is. Because as we clear that stage, the wind of God is going to come and breathe on you and bring you new life. I'm going to ask the men in the back room if they could just play that song for us. And I want you to just listen to that song. And right now, while you're listening to that song, just commit to yourself that you're going to hear the Holy Spirit living and moving. And then we'll come back after this song and we'll close up.
Stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. Seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store, and know that great is your reward. So just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing all you want. Yes, you can. You can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to. And don't get me wrong, but worship is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper and beg Him please to open up His mouth and speak. And pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine a light on every corner of your life, until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Then read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can. You can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to. Don't get me wrong, worship is more than a song. Is an idol, and anything I want with all my heart is an idol. Anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. And anything that I give all my love is an idol. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. Clear the stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. 'Cause I can sing all I want to. Yes, I can. I can sing all I want to. I can sing all I want to and still get it wrong. Oh, you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can. You can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to. And don't get me wrong, worship is more than a song.
The Holy Spirit wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to demonstrate himself in our lives. God desires for us to seek him. And in our seeking him, we will find him. But sometimes we've allowed other things to come in the mix. Sometimes we've allowed other things to come and break up our agenda with God. Sometimes we've allowed other things to become idols in our life, and we're not pursuing the one who needs to be pursued. While you heard that song, I'm sure the Holy Spirit spoke to you of areas in your life that you need to clear out so that we could receive in the next coming weeks all that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. We need to clear the stage. We need to start seeking his face like never before. We need to start putting aside everything that we've allowed to come in between us and the Father so that he can demonstrate himself to us, so that we could be like the disciples, waiting for the presence of the Father, the promise to come, not knowing how it will come, when it will come, but just knowing that Jesus said he will come. Can you see yourself tonight in your home, in your room, waiting for the promise of God to come? He desires to come and reveal himself to you. The Holy Spirit desires to work in your life again. I pray that you'll join us over the next several weeks as we look through this Holy Spirit, this wonderful Holy Spirit, and we get to know him intimately, and we get to know who he is. And I trust that God will do a work within you and that he will fan into flame the fire. Like Jeremiah said, he is like a fire shut up within my bones. Oh, that God would be that fire shut up within your bones. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would quicken you tonight, that the fire would be shut up within your bones, that you would not be able to contain it. I trust that you will take that time tonight after this broadcast ends or whenever you listen to it, that you will take that time to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Just sit quietly before him. You see, when the Lord demonstrated to Elijah, he didn't come in the wind, but he came in a still small voice, and he wants to come to you tonight in that still small voice. And he wants to speak to you privately, you and him, and he wants to breathe new life into you. Would you allow him to do that tonight? Would you open yourself up to the moving of the Holy Spirit? Don't be afraid of him. He's mysterious, yes, but he's gentle and he's loving. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you that we've only touched the surface. There's so much more for us to see and to learn of this marvelous Holy Spirit. And Lord, there's so much for us to know through your word of how you demonstrated the Holy Spirit. So God, I just pray in the next coming weeks, would you prepare our hearts between now and then? And Lord, even for those that will take seriously the admonition to just sit quietly before you, that God, you would speak to their hearts, that you would be the God of suddenly and show up in that hour of need that they are seeking you for right now. As they clear the stage of their life and they clear everything that has been blocking them from seeking you, as they remove every idol in their life, oh God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show up in their house, show up in their office, and reveal yourself to them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, God bless you. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we welcome you to join Pastor Dino tomorrow morning on Facebook Live as he continues his studies in 2 Samuel, and that you will be refreshed by them as well. On Sunday morning, we will be here once again on Facebook Live and YouTube. Until then, keep in the Word of God. Keep pressing in. Keep seeking after Him. He's waiting for you to find Him. God bless you all.